And now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of your word tonight, that you bless our time in the word and in fellowship, Lord, that we glean and learn from the scriptures, Lord, that we might learn and apply some things to our life that help us to serve you better. We ask these things in the wonderful name of our Savior, Jesus. Amen. I forgot to mention, do pray for Michelle and I. The school starts on Monday here in the area. And also, our means our grandkids go back to school, and they don't know it yet, but they are being taken to a trip tomorrow to SeaWorld, and our daughter and son-in-law has invited us to join them, so we will go with them Thursday, and we'll be back on Saturday, late morning, early afternoon. So pray for us as we travel. We have safety, and pray for good weather, and pray that I don't get eaten by Shamu. You have your Bibles tonight. Let's look at 2 Samuel chapter 24. This will be the finish up 2 Samuel 24 tonight, and we'll move on into the book of 1 Kings. Part three of David's greatest sin. Do a little bit of a recap, and we'll go right into the last point tonight. Remember, point number one a few weeks ago was a tragedy of David's sin. It was a sin of anger, a sin of arrogance, a sin of aggression. And then we looked at the trauma of David's sin. When we knew through that trauma, there was conviction, there was choices, and there was chastisement. And then tonight, the third and last part, and we'll read verses 17 through 25 in just a moment, the teaching of David's sin. You know, sometimes we have to learn the hard way, don't we? And it's so much more enjoyable when we learn from other people's mistakes or other people's sin. We'll look at a little closer the teaching of David's sin. Let's begin reading in 2 Samuel chapter 24 and verse number 17, and we'll read through the rest of the chapter. The Bible says, "And David spake unto the Lord when he saw the angel that smote the people, and said, Lo, I have sinned, and I have done wickedly. But these sheep, what have they done? Let thy hand, I pray thee, be against me and against my father's house. And Gad came that day to David and said unto him, Go up, rear an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Arunah the Jebusite. And David, according to the saying of Gad, went up as the Lord commanded. And Arunah looked and saw the king and his servant coming on toward him. And Arunah went out and bowed himself before the king on his face upon the ground. And Arunah said, Wherefore is my lord the king come to his servant? And David said, To buy the threshing floor of thee, to build an altar unto the Lord, that the plague may be stayed for the people. And Arunah said unto David, Let my lord the king take and offer up what seemeth good unto him. Behold, here be oxen for burnt sacrifice, threshing instruments, and other instruments of oxen for wood. All these things did Arunah as a king give unto the king. And Arunah said unto the king, The Lord thy God accept thee. And the king said unto Arunah, Nay, but I will surely buy it from thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which costs me nothing. So David brought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. And David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord was entreated for the land, and the plague was stayed from Israel. As mentioned, number one tonight, the teaching of David's sin. Even at David's lowest point, David has something to teach us about walking with God. How much we can learn from our sin when the Lord corrects and shows us if we're willing to listen and do and respond as the Lord commands us. His sin and his recovery from sin, again, has something to teach us about dealing with our own sin. What are we learning from it? What have we learned from it? When we fall into that sin, the Lord forgives us through our repentance and corrects us. How are we learning that we might not repeat that sin? In first part of verse 17, let's look at letter A. It taught confession. As David says, And David spake unto the Lord when he saw the angel that smote the people and said, Lo, I have sinned. I have done wickedly. He receives all the blame, doesn't try to shift blame, but he says, I have done wickedly. So it taught confession. I believe with all of my heart, and I'm sure you would not argue with me, this is one of the reasons why he was called a man after God's own heart. Truly wanted to keep short distance between his sin and between the Lord. He wanted to keep the time of being away from the Lord short that he might stay right with God. See, David could sin and he could sin big, but he could not stay in a sinful condition. What a testimony. He had to find a place of repentance before the Lord. He had to get right with the Lord, and he did. And this is a lesson that we all need to get a hold of today. Keep short accounts. Yes, we will sin, and sometimes we will sin big. And when we do, our natural tendency, if we're not careful, is to try to hide our sin and pretend it did not take place, as opposed to addressing and living toward it. Oh, how pride will keep us from confessing our sin. Pride will keep us from saying, I was wrong. It could be, I can't remember what I was watching or hearing someone else, but that aspect of I was wrong. You know, sometimes it's hard, but still it's good for us that we might have a relationship. Oh, to strive to say, I have no desire to have anything between me and my Savior. Lord, if there is something between me and you, show me, reveal it. Help me that I might have that close relationship with you. After all, it is God's way. Though God's way may be different, it's still his way. God expects us to confess and to forsake our sins. Yes, it can be difficult, especially at times when we stumble in an area, we struggle in an area, and it seems like we're confessing and we're forsaking it today, and then we're picking it back up tomorrow. We're forsaking it, we're repenting of it, and then we're picking it up back up again the next week. But still, nonetheless, we are to still not to throw in the towel, not to give up. We're to continue to forsake. We're continue to ask for forgiveness, to confess, and say, Lord, help me. If you stumble with it day by day, say, Lord, help me get through a week at least before I have to come back before you. But Lord, help me. Proverbs 28 and verse 13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Oh, I know it always thrilled my soul as a father, and I can only imagine with our Heavenly Father, when there were times when our kids were home that when I didn't catch them doing something wrong, Michelle did not catch them doing something wrong, but under their own conviction, they came and confessed their own sin and said, Mom, Dad, I did it. I was wrong. I shouldn't have done this. It always thrilled our soul. Isn't it wonderful when we're able to recognize our sin before the Lord even has to bring the lower the boom or to bring the conviction during the preaching, during a church service, or during your own Bible study. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Why not go to a God who will forgive us, who will restore us, he will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness? What a deal. All we have to do is do our best to not only repent and forsake, but Lord, help me not to repeat. It taught confession. And then again, in the latter part of verse 17, it taught contrition or remorse. There again in verse 17, he says, I have sinned and I have done wickedly, but these sheep have done nothing. Let thine hand, I pray thee, be against me and against my father's house. Not only did David confess or acknowledge his sin, but he also took all the blame upon himself. Lord, please stop the punishment, stop the blame, stop the other things that are taking place. Please bring this upon me. David goes to the Lord and says, I did it. I should be paying the price. Not the sheep, not my people, not the people of Israel, but Lord, but me. So no doubt, as we see in our study, it did teach confession, but it also taught contrition or remorse. David can only say this because his pride had been shattered. He had already repented. He had already got things right with the Lord. He does not care about how many soldiers he has anymore. He doesn't care about the past victories that he had in battle. He does not. Now David sees his sins have hurt not only him, not only his family, but they have hurt other people, and he is genuinely sorry about his sins. I know we mentioned this last week and some the week before. We need to remind ourselves that our sin has its effect not just on us personally, but those are around us, and even those that may be observing and watching our Christian walk. God wants us to get to the place where we are honest about our sin and how it affects those that are around us. Again, we get back to that aspect of pride. If we're not careful, we don't think about others. We think about me. myself, my family. We think about how it will look, how I will look. And I tell you what, folks, I have never been in a church service in my life, never, where somebody did not confess their sins, get right, ask for forgiveness, ask to be restored, where somebody complained and said no. Never have. I mean, I've always been a part of a church that were very loving. People wanted to get right. They wanted to ask for forgiveness. They wanted to be restored. I have sinned, as David says to the Lord. I have never been a part of a church. I remember in North Carolina, I think it was, I was working with another pastor, and I thought he did a tremendous job, but there was a young girl in the church had fallen into sin and had things that were dealt with, and she came to the pastor and the deacons, wanted to make things right. Pastor taught on those things and what the Bible says about forgiveness, about forgiving, asking for forgiveness, being forgiven, and being restored. I tell you, it was almost like a little bit of a revival broke out in our congregation that Sunday night or Wednesday night that it took place, as people were more than welcome. The young mother was so overwhelmed of how much people demonstrated their love toward her. She was so overwhelmed of how much people were ready to forgive her because of her true repentance of wanting to be right with her church family, wanting to be right with her mom and dad, wanting to be right mostly with the Lord. See, when we are honest about sin, we stop making excuses. We stop playing games. We stop pointing the finger. And we stop hiding in the shadows or hiding the truth of our sin. See, it's not someone else's fault. We are guilty and we need to deal with it. It's easy to say, well, the devil made me do it. Well, yeah, he did. No, he just gave you the temptation. You chose to do it. He waggled or waved it out there in front of you, but we made the decision. See, when we are honest with ourselves, we deal with our sins by forsaking it and by dealing with the consequences that it brings into our lives. Sometimes, like with David here, it's overwhelming for the king. It's overwhelming to see what his sheep, what his people are going through. And he again asked the Lord, please let it stay. Please let it go. Please to my family. See, God can bless us. God can forgive us and restore us when we have remorse and decide to be honest with ourselves as well as others. Again, back to the same thing about forgiveness. I never remember ever raising my kids. Never, ever remember with my grandchildren coming to me and saying, Papa, Dad, I did wrong. Please forgive me. I never remember saying no. I never was saying, do you mean it? Usually you can tell just by the expression on their face and the tears. And there might have been a few times when my girls were teenagers. I'm saying, well, are you sorry because you got caught? Or are you sorry because you were wrong? And of course, and I think that's important, but same way when we get sin, and it's so much more enjoyable when the Lord doesn't have to bring us under great conviction, when we recognize our sin and go to the Lord and say, Lord, please forgive me. Luke chapter 18, verse 11 through 14. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as a publican. I fast twice. He forgot pride, didn't he? He forgot humility, didn't he? I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. See, God receives and blesses those who come to him with a repentive heart. David's sin taught confession. It taught contrition or remorse. And then letter C, it taught costliness. I won't take time to read the rest of the passage again, but verses 18 through 25, we find out what David was told that he needed to do by the seer Gad, and going down and into the threshing floor and getting what he needed and making a sacrifice. So it can be costly. David is told again to go to not just any, but a certain threshing floor and to make a sacrifice. I just thought about this. David didn't decide just to go, well, a threshing floor is a threshing floor. He went exactly where he was told to go. to get what he was told to get at the same place that he was told to get it. See, when the owner of the threshing floor offers to give the place to David, David refuses. Not refuses the things, but refuses not to pay. David knows that real worship is costly. Dear friends, when we go into worship unto the Lord or to make sacrifice unto the Lord, it can be very costly, but very, very much worth it in getting things settled. He knows that getting things fixed up with the Lord carries a very high price. Gentlemen, do you remember the first time, guys? I'll talk to the guys because we're on the same level, some of this area. I remember this very vividly. Do you remember the first time that you went to talk to your dad because you knew there was something you needed to tell him, but you knew he would be disappointed in you? He knew. I remember very clearly the first time my dad said, "Son, I'm ashamed. I'm ashamed of what you've just done and what you've told me. But I'm glad he didn't stop there." I can't imagine how things that might have been going through David's mind and dealing with those things. But it is costly. But we also know that getting things fixed up and right with the Lord may come at a high price. It may come with a price tag of great humility and doing what is needed to make things right. So David buys the threshing floor and the oxen, and he builds an altar and he offers a sacrifice, our text tells us. Dear friends, God is pleased and all is well again. So, what is the lesson? He purchased the threshing floor from whom the seeker of the Lord told him to go. He paid a price, did not receive it freely. He made the sacrifice. He made a sacrifice financially, possibly. I don't know for sure how much 50 shekels is, and I don't know what the price of threshing floors and oxen and wood was at that time. Dave, you have any idea what 50 shekels might have been then and today? Brother Leonard? Huh? Yes, I don't know what the exchange rate either. I thought about it before church. I thought, man, I wish I would have looked it up, Brother Mel.
I can't tell you what the cost would be, but the number of children of Israel is God, is half shekel.
Okay. So a half a shekel just for the numbering, so 50 shekels for the purchase. Brother Leonard? A pound of silver. And so today, we can do the calculation. Now, he was a king, without a doubt. But I think the greater thing in what David did, and not just paying the price, refusing the gift, to saying, "I must pay for it." Brother Leonard?
Uh-huh.
Oxen. Yeah.
All of it.
Yeah. And then inflation from the Old to the New Testament. Brother Dave? Yeah. So without a doubt, we know it was at some type of cost. Some in humility, swallowing the pride, refusing the gift of giving to help him to worship. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with somebody helping you worship, helping you do things, but you need to make sure you're doing your share as well, that you're doing your part. Yes, Miss Marlene. Amen. Because there's no doubt by this time that everyone in the community knew it was David's fault. So whether this gentleman was trying to soothe the king a little bit, trying to be a help to him, and David says, "No, I must pay this price." So again, that aspect of humility. Brother Hadi. Had to. Yeah. Well, the king can do what he wants. Yeah. But yeah, so that's a great act of humility and, of course, of abiding and keeping up the law. See, here, faith, and go back to some of the lesson that referred to asking the question, what is a lesson here, and we'll wrap this up. Faith is like a threshing floor or a sifter. It sorts out everything from our lives that is not pleasing to God. Some of you know what a sifter is. Some of you may not. Michelle used one. We use one on the mission field to sift out the boll weevils and the flour, and as well as the other things in the beet sugar. And sometimes the Lord may have to do that. But the Lord also reminded one of the disciples to beware. The devil has a desire to sift you as well. So David went through it here. It cleans us up if it is followed and obeyed. Faith and repentance that costs us nothing is what kind of faith? Repentance that costs us nothing is not repentance at all. Our commitment to God is going to be costly to maintain. It may cost you a relationship. It may cost you a habit. It may cost you a job. It may cost, those big things right there with a relationship. There is always a price to pay when sin has been committed, if you want to be right with the Lord again. You see, serving God and enjoying His blessings comes at a price. Serving God is costly business. We cannot cut corners on Him and expect Him to bless us. So the question, do you want our church, do you want your church to be blessed? And I'm assuming, confident that it's yes. Then we must pay the price in prayer, in holiness that we talked about last week, and in sacrifice. We need to put in our time of prayer. We need to do our part to be holy, to stay clean, and we need to be willing to make sacrifices, not just in giving, but giving of our time, our talents as well, and being involved in some aspect, especially in prayer. If we are going to go forward for the glory of God, then each generation must prepare and be willing to pay the price. Now, did you notice that David's sin was not completely dealt with until there was shed blood? That is a clear teaching in the Bible, Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin or no remission. Listen, it was on this same hill that they think about it that Abraham offered Isaac. It was here that the temple would be built in just a few years. It was here that 1,000 years later that Jesus Christ would hang on the old rugged cross to pay that sin debt, that shedding of blood. You see, your sin, my sin, are going to cost us big, but it has already cost God more than we could ever imagine. Amen? God gave His Son on the cross to save us, and with that comes forgiveness and cleansing. Thank God that we do not have to offer a sacrifice because that has been done once and for all. We must get honest about our sin and pay the price of confession and repentance so that our sin can be forgiven. Folks, it's not that hard to say I'm wrong. It's not that hard. It can be, I know, but it really isn't, especially when we know that forgiveness is there to be given, and restoration is there to help us be restored. So how does this message find you today as we close? Are you saved and enjoying close, intimate fellowship with Jesus? Are you dealing with a sin problem that keeps rearing its ugly head? Do you need to come before the Lord and deal with this sin or problem that will help, that needs to be put aside that you might walk with the Lord? So are you ready, friends? Are you ready, Harvest family, to pay the price so that God might continue to move and to bless this place, to bless around us, to continue to work in the lives of young families and children? I'm looking forward to the day when we start seeing more of those boys and girls in children's church come to know the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior. I'm ready. So will you join me in making a commitment to pray, a commitment to holiness, a commitment to sacrifice? You see, God is working, and I believe He wants to do. I'm confident that He wants to do more. So let's not be guilty of the one or the few standing in the way or hindering the work of the Lord. Let's do all we can to pray, to stay in holiness, to be willing to make sacrifice. And sometimes that sacrifice is a little more time in prayer, getting up a little bit earlier to be uninterrupted, to have that time of prayer, asking the Lord, and let's live that separated, holy life that we've talked about this past Sunday night, willing to make those sacrifices as we pray that God would continue to work. Let's be the oil on the wheels of the Holy Spirit to keep rolling in our midst, as opposed to the cog that might slow the things down as we continue to serve the Lord. David's greatest sin: there was tragedy, there was teaching, and then there was confession that was taught. Let's make sure we keep those short accounts. Let's pray together. Father, we love you and do thank you for your goodness to us, your blessings upon us. Thank you for the joy, again, of fellowship, the joy of prayer. And Father, thank you that you are a holy God that always stands ready to forgive. Not only do you stand ready to forgive, Father, you bring conviction so we can recognize our sin, so that we can get right, so that you can restore us and restore our fellowship with you as well, if needed, with one another. Thank you for who you are. And help us to labor together, strive to pray, strive to be holy, strive to make the sacrifices needed, that we might continue to see the work of God continue through here at Harvest Baptist Church. Father, we love you, and we thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, as always, the Lord loves you, his preacher loves you. If I can be helped you in any way, please do not hesitate to ask. God bless you. You're dismissed. Remember to pray for our services through the week on Sunday.